The Hideous Creature Show.
One resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
Well, I woke up to go get me a cold pop. And then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Portland, Oregon, inside 2202, a.k.a. the Brooklyn Zoo, via the internet. The date is April 21st, 2012, and I'm one of your hosts, and my name is June.
And my name is Jenny.
My name is Pat.
And this is the Hideous Creatures Show, episode number 138. Thank you, everybody, for coming along and playing fake radio with the internet. With the internet. With us on the internet. So, Jenny... You just scored the first points on our death pool. And I think we need to hit this first because I got a text from you which told me that that Mr. Dick Clark died, and he's the actual first one on your death list.
Yes.
How old was he?
He was 82.
Didn't he seem like he was 80, like he was 40 for 50 years?
Yes.
Which made you think he was like 98?
Well, I was watching Perry Mason the other day, and he was on it. And even then, he was probably maybe in his 20s, and he looked like he was like 35 or something.
I think
like
all
that.
People of that generation, like if you ever look at your parents' yearbooks, like at least my mother's, like everybody had those big bouffant hairdos, and they looked like they were in their 40s, but they were like 18-year-old kids.
Right.
But they just, like, and also they used to wear suits back then a lot more, and I think ages people a lot more than like the fucking youth of today with their saggy pants and hoodies, you know?
Do you think it's because we kind of looked at them and they always seemed old? Or, I don't know, because you're right. I look at those pictures and they still look like old.
Yeah.
They're old. Maybe it's the quality of the pictures. I don't
know.
That
could be.
Maybe it's we've got some fucked up issues.
But Dick Clark looked the same that he did when he was hosting the bandstand in the 80s than he did, you know, before he had his stroke.
Right.
The only reason he looked weird after the stroke was because of, like, some facial paralysis that he had, I think. But he still looked young. I mean, he still looked...
No, he looked old.
He looked
relatively
good. He went
from 40 to 150 in
stroke
time.
Yeah.
Like, I think the stroke... He finally stepped out of his time machine or his cryogenic whatever apparatus that he slept in or something to make him seem older than he was. Now, you got the points. That's 18 points for you, Jenny. But I'm unclear on certain aspects of the game. And do you get to choose a new person now?
No.
So you just stay with the same amount of people? What?
We each got 10, right? 10 picks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. This is my, those 10 are my 10 for the whole year.
Okay. So we, at the end of the year, do we pick new ones or do we keep the old ones? How's it work?
It's your choice.
I don't remember.
It's your choice.
Well, you'll have 10.
You can roll them over?
Yeah, if you want.
Okay.
And then you just take the points. 2012, you have so far 18 points, maybe blah, blah, blah.
Right.
All right, really quick, I want to go down to see if we can kind of maybe predict who else is going to go. Patrick, you chose Gene Wilder, Keith Richards, Gore Vidal, Jimmy Carter, Courtney Love, Lemmy, O.J. Simpson, Larry Flint, Zsa Zsa Gabor, and Don King. I don't know.
And I'm pretty sure all those people are still alive.
Yeah, they're all alive. I got Brett Michaels, Clint Eastwood, Harper Lee, Abe Vigoda, Sinbad, Wilford Brimley, Richard Dawson, Rick Ashley, Kim Kardashian, and Gene Wilder.
I think they're all still alive.
Okay.
Still alive.
You have Dick Clark, safe home, Dick Clark. You have Zsa Zsa Gabor, this is Jenny's list, Lindsay Lohan, Snooki, Carol Channing, Stan Lee, Ann B. Davis, Robin Gibb, hold on. Isn't he in a coma right now?
He is in a coma.
I got to get close to this microphone.
He's been fighting cancer for like a couple of years now, and he actually just slipped into a coma.
Ooh, you might have some more points. Do you know how old he is?
I don't, but I'm betting he's in his early 70s.
Yeah, yeah, he's got to be 60s, ticking on the 70s.
Or late 60s.
Yeah, like 68, yeah. I'll say.
You might have some more points, Jenny.
He's a C plus, B minus.
And then you have Charlie Sheen and Bobby Brown. I think out of all those
and
people.
And I almost got the Whitney. I mean, I had Bobby Brown.
That's right. You know, that when she passed away, we all texted each other.
Maybe it's like where the red fern grows. It's like once Whitney passes, Bobby's going to like go.
Well, he has been trying to get his name out in the public a little bit more, which will probably lead to some drug use because Bobby's crazy.
Yeah, he is.
So.
But I think.
Not that I'm wishing any ill will on any of these people. No, let's make that
he
clear.
He has an old soul, though. I've met him. Old soul.
But. Robin Gibb.
You wish you met him.
Robin Gibb's the next to go.
I think
of everybody
too.
On the list.
I mean, there could be like a, you know, a Wilford Brimley. Bam. It could happen.
I'm Abe Bogota.
I'm saying Gore Vidal's going.
Gore Vidal. Interesting. Hmm? Well, we have death to look forward to, everybody. Death to look forward
makes
to.
Makes it fun.
It's kind of morbid. But, you know, what the fuck?
It's the only thing
life
that
moves on.
Like, anybody ever thought that the three of us weren't morbid or...
Well, out of us,
unpolitically
who's going
correct.
First?
I don't want to.
Patrick,
I am going first.
Patrick,
I'm going first.
What's going to happen to the kids? Well, you know, you can. Yeah. We'll sell them to pay for the funeral because you're going to have a great funeral.
I'm not. I don't want to have a funeral. I just want everyone to forget me. That's what I want. I just forget me and move on without your day.
They'll be like, I saw you. You were just thinking about Patrick, weren't you? You know that was his dying wish.
Yeah, and I'm one of your hosts, and my name is June. My name is Jenny. Wasn't there somebody else
there? Didn't we used to
do this
about
the first? I forget.
No.
Move
on.
This show is flowing well.
No, I think it was just always the two of us.
I forget. What's going on?
Wow.
There was another element here.
Now we just got to morbid.
Yeah, and now we got a chicken pecking on our fucking shitty Mac over there.
Let's name the chicken Patrick. I don't know why, but that name just sounds right.
Yeah, kind of looks Irish. That's good. I like that. Well, speaking of death, I was driving to work the other day on Friday, and I'm just merrily driving down the street, probably doing about 35 on one of the main thoroughfares in Portland, and I notice there's this woman standing on the side, like on the curb, and the light's green, so I'm in the intersection. Her crosswalk is red, but I'm halfway through the intersection, and I just want to make sure that she's, you know, not going to do anything. So, you know, you give the eye look, you lock gaze.
You're like, don't you fucking
do it. Don't you
bitch.
Do it. And she actually, as soon as I got a little closer, she took two big steps and tried to get in front of my car.
And as you're moving?
I stopped the car and established that she was, you know, there, and then I got in my car and... No, I was driving to work.
Like, it's not like you're at a stop sign.
No, the light was green. I was moving through the intersection, and she took two big steps and tried to get in front of my car. And I almost hit her. I didn't even have time to hit the brakes. I had to turn the car and jump into the next lane in order to miss her. Like, I think she was trying to commit suicide or something.
Really?
And she didn't look crazy. I don't know. This is, you know, who knows who looks crazy. But she just jumped in front of the car.
So she locked eyes with you.
Locked eyes.
She made the eye contact.
Right. And she just went for it. She looked at, and while she was
moving. Like, this is my guy. He's the one that's going to take my life.
And while she was moving in front of me, we were looking like in each other's eyes. And she took two really long strides into the street and right in front of my car. And I had to swerve into the next lane. If there was another car in that lane, I would have hit him. Because I had to move completely out of my lane and dodge her.
And what did she look like?
She looked normal. She had brown hair. She had a backpack on, and she had a yoga mat.
What?
And I just thought, what the fuck are you doing, bitch? Are you trying to kill yourself? Because I can't think of any other reason why you would make that kind of effort to move into the street that fast, and I was doing maybe 30.
Well, I wonder if she was trying to challenge you, like, just as a devil's advocate, like maybe...
Like she's playing chicken?
Or maybe she was just, since they have the new law in Portland that, like, you're supposed to stop for pedestrians,
right,
even not at crosswalks, which I think is bullshit, Maybe she was just like, I'm a pedestrian. I just got done with my yoga and I'm going to go.
This entitlement
to,
shit.
Yeah. Entitled and to see if you would stop for her.
Well, the you know, the crosswalk on the other side, you know how it has like, it'll have a countdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was no countdown. It was solid. And her crosswalk was red and I had a green light to go through it. Maybe she was. Maybe she was like a self-righteous bitch.
Yeah, let's see if this guy will stop for me.
Maybe she saw you and just locked eyes with you and said, Chuck Woolery, I'm making a love connection. You almost hit her with your car, you end up married.
Does she understand inertia?
Does she understand physics?
I don't, it's just...
I have this feeling she was a self-entitled bitch who was just coming off her yoga class.
I kind of feel the same way. She's a man-hater. She's just like, oh, this fucking dick is driving his awesome car to his awesome job, and I'm going to fuck it up.
She would have done more damage to you with you hitting her car than you would have done to her.
Yeah, she would have. She would totally wrecked my car.
Yeah, she's like, look at that kick-ass car with the windows that don't roll down. Ooh, that guy's got a pearly snap button shirt on. He's got lots of cash, I can tell.
And, do you think that she might have been doing it out of, like, trying to get a cash settlement or something?
How many yoga sessions will this get me?
Fuck, she's going to have to do some physical therapy, super physical therapy yoga.
Thank goodness there wasn't a car next to you because, you know, as the motorist, it would have been your fault.
Right.
Right.
And you would have been fucked with the guy or girl that you hit. And she would have been like, ow, my whiplash.
You kind of have a point. Patrick, where you're saying like she's defiant or just kind of self-righteous because when she looked at me, she looked kind of pissed.
I was just going off of what Jenny said, which is like the new whole law that maybe she's like testing them because I can see someone going, you know what? I have the right to the road too.
I am a pedestrian. I have the right to go.
Right. It's the yoga
mat. I've
seen
that a lot where now that they have that new rule where you're supposed to yield to pedestrians even not at crosswalks or lights, which is stupid. But people will just walk out into the street and they're like, you better stop for me because I have a right to cross, like, what, in the middle of a block? It's bullshit.
It's a four lane highway. It was grand or MLK.
Yeah, that's
MLK and
that's
where?
Retarded.
MLK right in front of, blah, 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 right by my father's
place. Were you the only car on the road and like passing?
I was the only car.
Maybe she was just, you know, like, going to start walking, and then when you passed by, she'd continue walking, but her...
To save an extra, like, 6 seconds?
But her giant, like, fucking Hulk legs propelled her forward too quickly.
Maybe she was blind in one eye and had no depth perception and thought you were, like, another block away.
The only thing that I've learned from this lesson is I need to get either rich or I need to invest in some super awesome auto insurance, so instead of moving out of the way,
you're just like,
fuck it, right into her. Bam! And then I could, you know, put her on the top of the car.
You'll be like
like an elk.
The car Kevorkian. You'll just help people assisted suicide by vehicular manslaughter.
Can you show up on Washington and MLK around 4:15 tomorrow morning?
Yeah, you'll know me by all the bike lights I have all over my person. I'll just go for them like Death Race 2000.
What kind of car will you be driving? I'll be sure to jump in front of it.
Oh, you'll know.
You'll know. You'll hear it. It's blue. And every time it goes over a bump, you'll hear.
Yeah, I have knives welded onto the front of it. You'll
in
know.
Case you don't get hit with the impact, the knife will cut your Achilles and you'll bleed to death.
You ever
so
seen
it'll
Death
be
Race
fine.
2000. Yeah,
shoots rabies dogs at you. All right, well, anyway. Patrick, let's get a movie madness from you.
I'm somebody's bitch.
Is that the clip?
That's it.
I'm somebody's bitch.
Yep.
You didn't do these, did you?
I did not do these.
Huh.
These were given to us by SF Dave.
This was a send-in.
I'm somebody's bitch.
So do you actually know the movie, Pat? Or no. You can guess along today, too. Yeah. How exciting. Patrick can play.
SF Dave always...
I'm somebody's bitch.
Always sends the small clips.
He got better for a while. You want me to play the next one?
Yeah, let's do another one.
Lady, you have $7 for a used Kenny Loggins record? I'll give you $5.
He autographed himself.
I'll give you $4.
Dude, I would pay a lot for an autographed Kenny Loggins record. I love Loggins.
I don't know what it is. don't know. Anyway, we play a game here on the Hideous Creature Show called Movie Madness, where Patrick chooses a movie, plays movie clips throughout the show, and Jenny and I try to choose what the movie is or guess what the movie is. This time around, though, a fan, SF Dave, has sent in clips, and now Patrick gets to participate. It's very exciting.
I'm so excited.
Very, very exciting indeed.
Nipples are hard.
So we found this little article. What was the website called? I forgot. Anyway.
Friskies.
Frisky.com?
Friskies.
And they had a little list. What was the title of the list, Patrick?
10 things in Portland that are non-ironically weird.
You know, there's a whole thing in Portland, like, keep Portland weird. And with the Portlandia show, it's like all these different things in Portland that are strange.
Unorthodox.
But these are things that actually really are strange. They're not like, you know, funny, let's make up something strange.
Right. Well, what we're going to do is they gave a list of 10 things. And we're going to go through and criticize the list and say yay or nay and add our own commentary to it. So, Patrick, you want to read it?
Number one on things that we that are non-ironically weird is that Portlandia people or people from Portland do not honk their car horns.
Yeah, I didn't honk at the lady that I tried
you
to avoid.
Didn't
I didn't have
to.
Time.
Yeah, but you could have slammed it on at the end of it.
Well, I could have gone around the block and honked at her.
That would have been a Massachusetts thing to do. Like, damn you.
Well, if I wasn't, you know, going to work, I think I would have done that. I've noticed, I read the list last week, and I've noticed after hearing reading that particular little fun fact that people don't really honk that much. Mm-hmm. I've gone all week and I haven't heard a honk.
Well, I heard a statistic a while ago, like maybe even a couple of years ago, that Portland got number one of the friendliest drivers. Because people really are. Like, for example, you know when you're coming off of NATO Parkway and you're going to try to get onto the Ross Island Bridge?
Mm-hmm.
People that are going straight and that are already on the road going to the Ross Island Bridge will actually stop to let people merge in from the left side.
Yeah.
That would not happen.
No, that wouldn't happen in New York City.
They're like, go,
no.
Or people or in Portland are actually even too friendly.
Seattle.
Like, just coming here, turning left onto Brooklyn, this lady just stopped and was like, go ahead.
Yeah.
Like I was a little baby chick. And I'm like, you.
Like a little duckling.
You know, I was like, there's no
sweet
one behind you, lady. If you just keep going, I'll turn in 3 seconds. It'll be fine.
I've noticed that I do it a lot. Like when there's a car coming, I'll pull off to the side and let them go through on a one-way street.
Right.
But
right.
I always wait for the wave.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If I don't get the wave, I get angry.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I've noticed about it, too, is, and it's always from people from Washington or people with California plates, people don't know how to give the little toot toot, like, hey, acknowledge you, like, hey, buddy, move.
The wave.
Move, no,
the honk.
On the honk, like, hey, buddy, like, the light's been green for about, in Portland, the light's been green for about 45 seconds. That's a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Boop, boop. Hey, why don't you keep moving it? Because people, when they do use it, are, and I'm just like, that's unneeded. That's the only time I hear it, but I hear it very rarely.
I give the happy beep.
Yeah.
But I give the same beep I've noticed that I give when I'm dropping somebody off.
Like, yeah,
if
like,
I'm dropping
you
off
later,
your house.
Stan.
Toodaloo.
Boop, boop, meep, meep.
That's what you give.
Bye-bye.
Because that horn, that's like an instrument.
See you later.
You can play it. You can do different things with it. But people sometimes are just like, eh, and you're just like, that's not how you use your
I
horn.
Will say that I do not participate in horn honking in this city, but it's because my horn's broken.
Fair enough.
Oh, we'll fix it.
I don't have a horn.
The second item on this list is, it is not uncommon to see zip-off cargo pants in our fine dining establishments. What are zip-off cargo pants?
I don't know what that is.
They're just like parachute pants, but you can zip them off?
Well, yeah, I think that they mean like whatever all three of us are wearing right now, we could go to any restaurant in Portland and it would be fine.
Yeah.
Because you will see that. Like, if you go to, like, let's say Jake's downtown or something that's, like, semi-nice, you'll see people dressed up with high heels in dresses, and you'll also see
suits, and then you'll see
people,
me.
Yeah, then you'll see Hobo Patrick.
Right. No,
and it doesn't matter.
I've been to Jake's. They've served me.
Yeah.
I've them well.
That's a true one, though.
That's true.
You see all walks of, like, you could get a gutter punk with neck and face tattoos sitting next to a guy in a full suit yep. with his wife, and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, and they'll all eat the same food. Right. And
have a great conversation about Bob Seger.
So that's true. I agree.
Number three, recycling is the rule, not the exception.
I agree.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend, he lives in New York, and I was saying that we only get garbage trash picked up once every 2 weeks here. It alternates between trash and recycling. And he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? We get trash 2 times a week, recycling once a week. And he doesn't necessarily use the the service twice a week. But he couldn't believe the fact that we have to alternate our trash and our recycling.
And there's so much trash produced in New York City that they probably have to run the trucks twice a week, or it would just be too fucking much.
Those drivers make like $80,000 a year.
I know.
Too.
I actually watched a documentary, because I'm a total dork, about where your trash goes. And
heaven?
In different,
trash oven.
Goats,
no, but
goats
it goes through the IKEA.
Giant goats eat it.
I've noticed at work.
Huge ones.
I've noticed at work people come up. Forget it. I'm done.
Sorry, Patrick.
No, forget it. You could make goat sounds. Let's go to number four. Recycling is complicated. Most establishments are equipped with at least 3 to 4 recycling compost bins. You need a freaking sustainability degree to know how to best dispose of your bendy straw at Whole Foods.
That's kind of true. I know that at the house, in order to teach all the roommates how to do it, I actually framed the recycling rules and put them in my bathroom. So anytime anybody takes a shit, they're looking at the recycling rules.
I wondered why that was framed. I was like, did somebody just do this as a joke or it ended up in here and it stayed in here?
No, you know what, too? It still gets fucked up.
Yeah.
Still.
But I understand what they mean. Like, I went into a Burgerville of all places and there was like 4 different holes, and it was like compostable.
Trash.
Glass bottles
that
Lord
could
of the
be
Rings.
Trash.
And like, the straw is trash, but the lid and corn syrup cup isn't trash. Like, it is a little bit confusing.
Burgerville Happy Toys for boys. Burger Toys Happy Toys for girls. It's just like, really?
The girls' toys are compostable. The boys, right to the landfill.
Yeah, right to the landfill, because boys are just fucking puppy dog tails. Number five. People in Portland take brunch very fucking seriously.
I agree with that.
They do.
I agree.
They will wait an hour and a fucking half.
Every single Saturday, take a look at the line at the screen door.
Take a look at the line at Genie's.
At Genie's, yeah.
Genie's, if you go in the east, like, take a look, line, look, gravy, there's like fucking eight people always hanging out there. It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
There's also something that is added to the reason why people like brunch. In Portland, people drink. Going to the bars is a big, big thing. Tons and tons of people do it. I'm not saying that there's other cities that don't participate in that.
No, but it's most of the time I'm brunch.
But motherfucker, everybody's out drinking and everybody is out getting their brunch and their all-you-can-drink mimosas.
And Bloody Marys.
And Bloody Mary. Yeah, there's Bloody Mary bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they do. They'll sit there and go, these are the best home fries. Any place in Portland.
These home fries are dynamite.
Screen Door's brunch is fucking off the hook. And if I had the patience and I wasn't pregnant and needed to eat like every 20 minutes, then I would go there.
Is it good? I've had Genie's and it's really good.
No, Screen Door and Screen Door's dinner, their fucking dinner is like some of the best food in Portland, I think.
People in Portland freak out about the sun. When it's sunny, not matter what time of the day it is of the week, every single person in Portland will flock outside and just be like, fucking all bets are fucking off. It's done.
It's true.
It's so true. It was today.
I drove by Portland's waterfront today on the way to run an errand and I was like, oh shit, is the Rose Festival going on? And I was like, no, it's sunny. That's it.
I think today though is the first official day of spring as far as our perception of spring in Portland. It's sunny out.
It's
warm. And
it's really warm. It's like in the high 60s, low 70s.
It's nice out, but Oregonians go fucking crazy, or Portlanders go crazy about when it's sunny out because you're locked inside for months in the winter, And once there's an opportunity to go out, it's fucking on.
I will tell you that today I wanted to get drunk so bad.
Let's get you drunk.
That is like the sun, like the first day of sun. Ugh. Damn this baby.
The thing I noticed also about the sun is when the sun comes out like a day like this, people who are driving, they don't honk because they're so fucking like, the sun. They're not paying attention to what's going on. As soon as the sun comes out, people do not know how to fucking drive.
I agree. And the douchebag cyclists come out. And I'm not saying that all cyclists are douchebags. I'm saying that the people that are fair weather cyclists come out and they suck at riding their stupid bikes. And the same thing goes on with motorcyclists and drivers too. But man, it's just, watch the fuck out for everybody. Come on, people. We're in this together.
We are.
We're together.
It's a team player, man.
Team game.
Just pay attention.
I'll see you at brunch.
Yep, see you at
Bloody
brunch.
Mary's.
Bloody Mimosas. Mary's. Put that fucking glass in the right
Let's
fucking
do it.
Bin.
Let's go drive drunk.
The next thing about Portland that is a non-ironically weird thing is that the bicycle lobby is a political force to be reckoned with. I think we should just skip over this.
Skip it.
One sec. For anybody that doesn't live in Portland, the reason why we're skipping over this is because a lot of the cyclists are cycle Nazis. They are against anybody that's driving a car.
I'm a vehicle too!
Right. But
you're not following the laws of the fucking road, asshole.
Well, I follow it when it's convenient for me. Otherwise, I'll ride on the sidewalk.
I don't have brakes! That's my right!
That's right. I saw a guy the other day riding a fixie, smoking a cigarette, and on his cell phone. Cruising down the road on a fixed gear, no brakes.
It's like a Grateful Dead song. Awesome.
And it's just, man, come the fuck on. And never mind. I'm done.
Okay.
Despite the fact that we live in a very rainy area of the of America.
What number is this?
This is number 8. We do not, as Portland, we take pride in that we don't have umbrellas. We don't use umbrellas.
I disagree. I use an umbrella.
Well, you're pregnant.
My baby's like the Wicked Witch of the West. If it gets wet, it'll...
What a cruel, cruel world!
What, we need the umbrella, Mommy. I'm gonna get wet in here.
Kid's already fucking soaked up to its bone.
I don't wanna get any wetter, Mommy.
That's true. I see people with umbrellas, and I'm just like, that's another thing I have to carry around.
That's true.
I don't use an umbrella. Every once in a while, I will if I'm walking... If I know I'm going to go to a pub and I know it's raining and I know I have to walk home, yeah. I'll bring an umbrella.
Well, I ride the bus every day to work and I have a work bag that I put my purse and my lunch in, and there's just an umbrella in there always. So I use it if it's raining.
But sometimes I look at people who have umbrellas, I'm like, fucking sucker, you chose to live here. Like, fucking dress accordingly. You have hoods, you have rain gear, like, deal with it.
A lot of cotton. A lot of cotton going on.
Really? It's so fucking stupid.
I think that's why the bus smells so fucking weird.
Yeah, it does. Because
all that cotton gets around all that body heat, and it starts to, you know, kind of evaporate a little bit, and all that personal stank.
There's nothing worse of a real rainy day when it's you can't even see if it's your stop because the bus windows are so fogged up and stank in there.
Cotton wool. And you're constantly rubbing that shit off.
Am I at 47?
And then your hand smells like somebody's weird ass.
And it's
like
dark by 3:30 in the afternoon. And you're like, I just want to go home. We hit a cyclist. We have to stay here. Fixie smoking a cigarette, his fucking cell phone texting.
What we got? Another thing in Portland is that every menu at every restaurant in the entire city includes the sentence "gluten-free bread available upon request" or some subject like that. Vegan options also available.
Jenny, what do you think?
I say that that's true.
Patrick,
one of those phrases is going to be like something along that line.
I'd say it's true. Now we're going to go around the room again. So, does it matter? I mean, some people don't. You're a vegetarian.
Well, you would never, like, for instance, I went to Montana to visit my family, and I tried to order a garden burger, and they looked at me like I was a Nazi. So you would never, ever see that. You would never see a gluten-free option in Montana or a vegan or even a vegetarian option. So I think Portland's kind of on the, you know, the food, the cutting edge of food.
What is, I mean, are there people that are allergic to gluten or yes. is it yes. like a fad?
There's, it's half and half, in my opinion. There are people that can't eat gluten. There are people that said, I shouldn't eat gluten, therefore I am allergic to gluten, which are just, they're fucking assholes.
But I think the gluten free thing is kind of new, where I know I have a couple people I know that didn't know they were allergic to gluten until they stopped eating it, and now they feel... They're like, oh, well, that's what the fuck I felt so gross all these years.
That's okay. True.
I just think that that's one of the things that I'm going to mark on my apocalyptic list. Who's allergic to peanuts? Who's allergic to gluten? Because those people are off. They're not coming into my bunker. Because they're not going to last. They're going to be bitchy and, like, yeah. sick all the time. Because right. I'm basically living on peanut butter about, and jelly sandwiches.
Right. What about lactose intolerant?
Out. They're out. They're gone from my bunker, out. Too. There's no milk. There's powdered milk. That's all but you that, got.
If they're if you're intolerant to anything, you're out.
Yeah, I need
June, in June's bunker.
Yeah. Unless you can't eat eggplant, because where the fuck are you going to get eggplant in a yeah. post-apocalyptic world?
Nowhere.
Those are the people that I want. It's like, you hate eggplant too? You're in my bunker.
It's like Waterworld. They search for water, you search for eggplant.
You know what's funny is that, Patrick, you're going to go into your bunker. 20 years, you're going to come out, and there's just going to be eggplant fields everywhere.
Damn you, Lord!
It's the only thing that flourishes.
Damn you, Corgan!
We decided to blame everything on...
Billy Corgan. Yeah. I'm down.
Just because.
I'm on board.
Have you heard that guy sing?
Oh, ugh. Yeah. Have you seen his head?
I-A-I-E-I. It's a vowel
disgusting.
Exercise.
I'm on board.
Is there any more?
Yeah, let's we got one more. That Portland glamorizes city service careers. Wastewater treatment employees, for example, are regarded as environmental crusaders saving the world one septic tank at a time. I don't really know that many of these people, but if anyone says, you know what, I'm saving it, I'd be like, fuck you, dude. You work with sewage. You're a shit merchant.
I don't think necessarily that those people give a shit about it. I think they're forced into it by our government.
All I know is that I'm going to put shit merchant on my list of possible band names.
And they're coming in the bunker because I need somebody to wrangle turds.
We're they're going to be selling it, and I get a cut. Even if you're like in a bunker like 40 miles away, Jenny, where's her cut? Put it on a fucking mule.
Dude, we're shit merchant, and we'll be here. Oh, we're opening up for Donkey Fucker.
We'll be here all week.
I just see like the post-apocalyptic kiosk. God, these guys are just here. They won't end it, but no one's buying. All right. So all in all, I think that there are some things that are, we live in Portland. I don't want to say progressive because that sounds too presumptuous.
Some of the things make us seem like pussies. Honestly.
You're right. We're not the front line in the war, against anybody that's going to take it over.
Our public education kind of sucks in my opinion.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It really does suck. You went through it.
Me think good, bad, no talk.
Portland's just weirdos hang out here.
But all in all, I
love Portland.
I love Portland, too.
And I love all the weirdness of it, even though, you know, I might bitch about the fixed gear
the
bike.
The turd wranglers.
And the shit merchants, but right. I'm okay with them.
Shit merchants. I've decided I'm going to go to singles events now to try and meet somebody, and I think... shit merchant is going to be what do you do for a living?
I'm a shit merchant.
I want you to just make a shirt that says shit merchant.
I trade and sell high end shit.
June Button shit merchant.
I'm
extension 441.
Importer, exporter. Shit merchant.
Do you know what you can do with fecal matter? I'm a shit merchant.
There's a large market for quadruped shit right now. High end quadruped shit. It's delicious. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
I can't believe you're going to go to singles events, June.
Yeah. I don't know. Why not?
Do it.
I don't know. You haven't been doing it for a while. Why
I want you to.
Well, the sun's out. I figure parks are
single
events.
You got to go find yourself
boobies.
Some ladies.
Boobies have resented themselves.
Yeah, I got booby fever as well.
There's going to be some tube tops coming out. You got to go get a handful of that.
I know. I got to lose some weight getting my tube top.
Old fashioned.
Patrick, can we get a movie madness, please?
You guys got to do something. There's this guy, Nasty Nate, who's after my... cocktail fruit, and everyone here likes fresh fish, and then the squirrel master came out of left field and told me I'm his bitch, and help.
That's Harlan Williams, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He was the one that, he was the person in the first clip, too.
Yeah, I didn't get
it. Yes, Harlan Williams. It was Harlan Williams.
Let's get one more, and then we're going to do our fake break.
You walk around on both legs, homo erected. Did I say homo? I didn't mean that.
Is this a Harlan Williams vehicle?
I don't know.
I can't think of a Harlan Williams.
Well, there was that one movie where he dressed up like a chick. It was like the...
Mama Goes to Jail?
No, it was like the three people dressed in drag, but I don't think it's that movie. And I don't even know the name of that one.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
Close.
All right.
Wong Fu with Love?
Not that one, but kind of like that.
All right, we're going to go into a fake break.
Dirty Dancing?
Yes.
When we come back, we've got a little...
Dreamscape?
Are you done? Fuck it. We're going to fake break. We'll see you guys in a
Free
sec.
Willy.
You are just cracking yourself up. You love this.
I have to do it so much.
Refreshing as the land of sky blue water. Land of lake and fine cool enchantment. And the beer refreshing. Land of sky blue waters, a big, fresh land. You can see the bigness, feel the freshness. And in Ham's beer, you can taste it. A taste as big and fresh as the land of sky blue waters. Ham's. Ham's. Refreshing as the land of sky blue waters. Ham's the beer refreshing. Ham's the beer refreshing.
I think it was episode 137 that we played the Cannonball Run theme song, and it's been running through my head, and I have it on my iPhone. I listen to it all the time, and it's constantly stuck in my head, and I thought about it, and I was like, this is when cocaine was the... Something that you, it wasn't a bad thing. It was like vitamin C.
There was no consequences to the cocaine usage.
And it was probably a lot better then. It wasn't as stepped on as it is now. Not that we know about that.
No, I don't know anything about that.
But I think that it instigated a lot of things in the 70s and in the 80s to the mid 80s. And one of the things was the song that stuck in my head. The Cannonball Run theme song. So I thought I would read the lyrics to you guys and we could kind of, you know, listen to it, yay, nay, maybe learn something because there's a lot of wisdom in this song and I think it's a true story.
They've lived it.
Right. The song was written by Ray Stevens. What else did Ray Stevens do?
The Streak.
They call him the Streak.
They called him the Streak. It's basically a song about a naked redneck like causing troubles around the town.
So yeah, he's got other hits.
How do you fucking know that?
I grew up in Montana, Patrick.
Okay.
All right, so the lyrics go like this. What do you say? Wait, what do you say when you write with no words? Feeling. That's very cocaine. I think that if we did some coke,
oh god,
we would believe this. Like, you'd be like, oh, this is, I feel this. This is fucking awesome. Feel a song that's never been heard. You sing it.
That's so profound.
How do you know if you've done it all? You answer.
That doesn't even make any sense.
No, none
cocaine.
Cocaine.
You're cleaning the fridge. What do you do when you've done it all? You ball. Like the cannonball.
Eight ball.
Cannonball, cannonball.
Another eight ball.
And then it goes into the core of the bridge and it goes, It's not what you do, it's how you do it, which is kind of a theme for the 70s and the early 80s. And then it goes, be anything you want to be. It's not how you, wait, it's not what you got, it's how you use it. You be you and I'll be me. It's just a matter of style. You can't fake it, mile after mile of feeling free. If you've got the soul, you can make it.
This song is about nothing.
Move them out.
Yeah.
Move them out. Let them roll. Let them roll. From sea to shining sea. Cocaine.
You know what this should have been? This should have been your presidential campaign song.
It really should have.
Yeah, it totally should have.
Because it's not about anything.
Because it's not about anything.
But it brings the nation together.
But it kind of makes you feel like it's about America in a weird way, but it's really about nothing or cocaine.
But you guys agree, right?
Yeah.
It's cocaine driven.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's Ray Steve.
So was Mork and Mindy.
It was, yeah.
All right. So then it goes into the second verse. What do you do if a mountain is there? This is where it's kicking in. They wrote the first verse and the chorus, and then here's where they're peaking. What do you do if a mountain is there? You fucking move it. Fucking mountain? You don't climb it. You move it. Get that shit out of the way. And then it gets kind of weird here. What do you answer to a challenge in today?
That's not even proper English.
No, it's not. That's why I'm saying the Coke's kicking in. And you know you're drinking whiskey. You take it.
Of course you do.
All right. What do you do when your back's against the wall? You fake it.
You got the drips.
What do you do when you done it all? You ball.
You ball.
You cannonball.
You eight ball.
You cannonball.
You eight ball.
Right. So, yeah, I think that cocaine has done a lot of great things for the world. And
I bet everybody that, yeah, like all the first years of Saturday Night Live, for one. Right. I bet everybody on that was in Cannonball Run.
Oh, cocaine.
Was on cocaine.
I think craft services used to actually have it as one of the entrees.
They didn't have food. Right. It was just Coke and like cocaine. Maybe a glass of orange juice.
Whoever said yes to Menudo, cocaine.
Right.
Yeah.
Kids Incorporated.
Cocaine. What if we get a bunch of kids with some colorful lights? Cocaine.
I just love that. What do you do if a mountain is there? Move it. Move it. Get that mountain.
Move it, take it, fake it, ball.
Right. Cannonball.
Jenny just summed that up in her PowerPoint presentation.
Those are the bullet points.
I needed to share it in order to get it out of my head because now that it kind of seems a little more ridiculous.
But now I'm going to see you and I'm going to be like, you move it.
A cannonball.
You ball.
I drive around and I sing it because I think it's going to be my new karaoke song.
Do you pretend like you're in that you're balling?
His car doesn't go over 34 miles an hour.
Not when I'm Captain Chaos. It goes 60.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, now I got that out of my system. Patrick, could we get another movie madness?
I know this isn't your responsibility, but would you be a dear and run this down to the supply department for me? It's on the second floor.
Just run this down?
Yes, but make sure you bring the order right back to me. I need it. ASAP.
Gotcha. Hey, I know this isn't your responsibility, but just mop the rest of this shit up. I'll be right back.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. The voice does.
I think I know who it is.
Do you know it?
I think it's Dave Chappelle.
Has Dave Chappelle done a movie?
Yeah.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah, I think I
You
know.
Got it, Jenny?
I don't know. I want to give it one more, but I think it's the only movie that I ever known him to be in.
I don't know the title, though.
I'm playing another one.
There's got to be forms laying around. I mean, they are scientists.
I don't know who that is. And who knows? It may not be Dave Chappelle.
What's it called, though?
That's what it sounded like to me.
It's a pot movie.
Yeah, it's a pot movie.
Oh, I know what it is. I'm an idiot.
You got it, then? You got it,
if that's
Jenny?
Yeah, if that's what, I mean, I...
But do you guys have the title?
Because yeah.
I don't know the title.
Yeah, I do. Remember. I just wrote it down to myself, so I won.
Actually, you know what? We should give this one to Patrick. He hasn't got
I
one.
I agree.
All right.
I don't want this one to give to me, man.
Well, you are the pothead here, so.
All right. Well, let's go into our douchebags of the week for episode 138 of the Hideous Creature Show.
Say hi to your gonna fly her brains out.
I was going fishing.
It sounds like what you were fishing for was sex with a 12-year-old girl.
Paging Dr. Douchebag.
A model who became a champion gravy wrestler suffered serious eye...
Wait.
A model who became a champion gravy wrestler...
So is this... Sorry. Is this like Jell-O wrestling, but with gravies instead?
I don't know. I'm assuming. I'm only on the first paragraph.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Probably accurate.
I got kind of horny and hungry at the same time, and I didn't know what to do.
I would love some fucking gravy right now.
So there's this model, and she became a champion gravy wrestler.
Okay. Okay.
She suffered serious eye damage after being hit in the face with a monkey wrench. Elijah Sampson, who is 31. Ooh.
I don't know what that means.
She's 31.
What?
She was hit in the face by her best friend, Sabrina English, after arriving back at her home in Rosendale, Lancashire, and finding the single mother having sex with another friend on her sofa. When kickboxer Elijah interrupted the two with a shout of, "What are you doing?" laundry worker English jumped up and hit her in the face with the garage tool, which was lying nearby on the floor.
Was that one of the sexual implements thing?
No, I love the English press because they're like, we're class. We're going to tell you what she does. She's a laundry worker. Ah, she's evil here. That's what they're doing.
So what happened is gravy wrestler
comes
home.
Is
the other girl a kickboxer?
No, she's the kickboxer.
The gravy wrestler. She's so a model kickboxing gravy wrestler.
She's a champion gravy wrestler. How do you think she got the belt?
Hello, triple threat.
Is there a picture of her on the...
Soft shoe.
Is there a picture of her on the copy?
Yes.
Is she hot?
If you like them bleach blonde and all made up like a tart.
So yes.
And absolutely.
A gravy enthusiast also puts me in the right room. So just to clarify, she walked into her house and her friend was fucking on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what this could have been? Like, have you ever been awoken? A surprise awoke, like, hey, wake up.
And all of a sudden
you just start throwing.
I kick. When I woke up like that, I kick.
But this bitch had a monkey wrench sitting by and just went.
And just whipped it.
Did it say, read on.
She received two fractures around her right eye and a gashed upper lip, which needed surgery, and 17 stitches to repair it.
Jesus Christ.
Which resulted in a deformity on the eyelid and long-term vision problems.
Uh-oh. Career over.
The woman who was fucking her friend on the couch was jailed for 2 years and admitted to previous grievous bodily harm.
So
it was lesbian sex going on,
too. It didn't
say
a man. It just said a friend.
Yeah. So. Well, and then it just said the woman who was...
Oh, so you think that a gravy wrestler caught her girlfriend cheating?
Maybe.
Ooh, that's a whole nother thing.
It's heated.
She was also barred from contacting Elijah, the gravy wrestler, for 2 years under restraining order. Last October, a year after Blonde Elijah won the 2010 World Gravy Wrestling Championship.
Damn
in which
it, why wasn't I there?
Other women and men in 2,000 liters of Bisto outside a pub near her home in Rosendale.
Oh, God, she probably smells like gravy all the time.
Oh, I bet. You know what? When she comes home from work and you're smelling her hair.
Yeah, it just smells like...
It smells like gravy.
Yeah.
Supposedly, Elijah went into her living room and found her friend English and Paul Greenwood having sex.
Oh, it was a guy.
It wasn't lesbian. Elijah was cross with what she saw, unhappy about their behavior in her lounge, and she said, "What are you doing?" But English jumped up, and then Paul Greenwood got up and grabbed the victim around the throat and pushed her in the doorway.
Holy shit.
They were just pissed at her and English's brother, who was also in the flat.
Jesus Christ.
Punched Elijah in the face a number of times.
Punched
the girl in the face.
Yes, the gravy wrestler. If there was gravy there, these fuckers would have been toast.
Maybe that was their trigger. They were like a sleeper cell, and when they smelled gravy, they just went apeshit.
Seriously, if there would have been any gravy around, she would have kicked all their asses.
She would have turned into like Swamp Thing.
Hold on, let me put some gravy in the ground.
Elijah was not really able to say what happened to her after that, but fought back to some extent and ended up on the floor in the bedroom in pain and aware her eye was seriously injured. The other three fled, and Elijah, who was unable to see out of her eye, sought help from a neighbor who called the ambulance. The woman who threw the wrench was arrested later, or hit her, was arrested later but made no comment in police interview, and she had a conviction for battery from 9 years ago. And check out this picture of
Elijah.
She's
a horrible roommate.
Glory. Oh, God, she's cute. Look at that gravy.
Oopsie doodles, we ran into a little technical difficulty. So we are going to segue directly after this little informant tidbit into Jenny's story. Yay, digital era.
According to the police spokesman, the 43-year-old phoned the local station claiming a 47-year-old woman with a voracious sexual appetite that he picked up at a bar in Munich was refusing to let him leave her apartment.
Oh, shit, this is Germans.
The two had made love multiple times during the night, but the woman wanted more. He initially said no. What a weirdo. But eventually complied with the woman's wishes another few times so he could finally leave the apartment.
You can't get blood out of a turnip, man.
No, but that's the weird part. Like, he said no and then went, nah, I got some more in me, I guess, to get out. That's
weird.
They're
German, though, don't they?
He was thinking that he would get that it would be his way out of the apartment, I think.
It would be his point of egress or his pass for egress.
So he was fucking for his freedom.
Yeah.
Yes. Just like Braveheart.
Or Dio.
The man could take no more and made his way to the balcony where he phoned the police to come and save him.
Do you think she was like beating on the door? Gah.
Probably.
It was probably a sliding glass door, too. It was on a balcony.
Well, when the cops arrived, the woman then tried to talk the dispatched officers into having sex with her as well.
Wow.
She faces sexual assault and illegal restraint charges.
Holy shit. Do you think that he'd actually press charges, though, and go through with it?
Yeah.
Or do you think that just having this adventure is worth it?
But I would have loved to have been that 911 operator that got that call. Like, he's like crying and whining that he has had too much sex that day.
How do you think it would go? Do you think he was trying to be sneaky?
He's like, she's going to hear me.
I'm stuck in this apartment, and this bitch is a fuck monster.
What's that, sir?
Fuck monster. I'm stuck. Fuck monster. Get me the fuck.
Is someone trying to kill you?
Bring the fuck in the ladder. Get off of this terrace.
I don't have any more in me.
Batman, I don't give a shit. Get me out of here. And his dick's just nothing.
It's just on fire.
It looks like a raisin.
It's like roast beef raisin. It's just dripping red and raw.
Well, I think that, there should be like a group of, you remember the Super Friends?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There should be a group of 18-year-olds that just fuck the shit out of women that need to be fucked.
Like the Cougar Crews.
Like Ashton Kutcher.
Right. I guess.
Like the Kutcher Crew.
Right. Like live in a cave. They slide down a pole. They get into a cab and they just go destroy pussy.
The CC boys. The Kutcher Crew.
And there'll be like a sign that cougars or women in general can use, like the Batman symbol that you just flash up in the air above your house and one will show up.
And as a man, I wouldn't take offense to it if, let's say I was dating a girl and I was like, oh man, I gotta go. I gotta go to work. And she's like, well, I'm calling the fucking.
Calling Kutcher Crew.
Calling the Pussy Punishers. Be like, okay, it's professional. It's like, I'm hungry, whatever. You do what you need to do.
Yeah. Right. They hear the cougar sound and they come running.
That doesn't sound too bad. Fuck it. There should be professionals for
everyone's women. Happy.
Right. But taking a guy hostage.
Well, she tried to fuck the police, literally, so I don't think she's all that.
She had cock fever.
Yeah.
Can we write a song called Cock Fever?
Cock fever!
It's 103.
So the douchebags for this week are the poor gravy wrestler that got hit in the face by a monkey wrench just because she walked in on some sex. And the thing I just read.
No, but I don't even know how to word it. The guy who... The unsatisfied vagina.
So who's the douchebag in that story? The guy who couldn't take it or the woman who dished it out?
I think it's the guy.
I think he's a douchebag because he called.
Yeah.
You should be enough of a man to just punch her.
And, say, and be like, I'm leaving.
I'm out of here.
You, I'm out of here.
I'm out of fucking here.
How? Yeah.
Yeah. If you're that weak that you can't get away from a woman that wants sex,
who's
you
kind of
want the sex too.
Yeah.
It's your fault as well.
He there wanted was, the attention.
There was free
Throw
booze
your
there.
Shoe and then she through her fish booze. Tank and make a run for it. Be a man.
So those are the two for this week.
Douchebags of the Week for episode 138 of the Hideous Creature Show. We might have them or we might not have them on our website. You have to go there, and if they're there, you win a little treasure and you can vote for it. Patrick, why don't we close out the movie Madness, please? What?
Sorry.
You're giving me like this. Are you into
Patrick
the song?
Can't, he can't get enough of the George Michael.
I can't get enough of that GM. That golf mic, man. Oh, it rocks my world. Oh.
You son of a bitch, I'm right behind you. Turn around and ask me for half of a cheese, yo. Why you gotta make me feel inferior because I'm on the grill, B? Damn.
You got it right, Janet. You guys, you both have it. Patrick already has it. I forgot the name again. Is it, I don't know. I just keep thinking of Cheech and Chong. I've never seen this either.
I'm a master of the custodial arts. Or a janitor, if you want to be a dick about it.
Closing it.
What?
Jenny's playing words with
friends. No, I'm not. I'm closing down this computer. And
oh, my
it went,
God. No, you were.
And when it went onto Facebook, it went boop, 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 boop.
Guess
and
what?
It made that noise.
I've closed that computer down many times. It's never made that noise before,
Jenny
ever.
Has been caught playing words with friends
place.
On the show.
That's,
on the show.
Oh. I'm closing it. Look.
Let's blame
closed.
It. Let's blame it on the fetus. Let's blame it on that.
It's closed.
Oh, baby. The fetus was playing words with friends. It wasn't my fucking doing.
I'm closing it.
Yeah. All right. Well, done. I'm gonna
up in smoke.
Jenny, do you want to? Why don't you reveal it and then I'll play another one.
The movie is Half Baked.
Okay.
Come on, Mary Jane. I mean, do I look like somebody that would smoke marijuana?
So it's a pot movie.
Yep.
You have a problem with pot movies?
I don't have a problem with pot movies. I just. I like your little bong sound. All right, anyway, so we're coming to the end of another Hideous Creature Show.
Happy or sad?
You can find us.
Use.
By the way, Patrick, you said about three episodes that you were going to write us a fine new ending copy.
It was actually
still
like
haven't
six
got.
Episodes.
It probably
ago.
Was more like six.
You know what? I'm going to put it out to anybody that would like to do, any listener that wants to do the end copy.
Yes.
If you think you can do it, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Call Patrick on his cell phone.
Yep.
And what's your cell phone number?
971-212-6642.
Call him and we'll play you as the last segment. But anyway, you know what? Maybe, fuck it. I don't know what we're doing. You can contact us at our website, which is hideouscreatureshow.squarespace.com. What I'm saying is that if somebody else out there can write better copy, then do it. Send it in and we'll read your copy, your version, because Patrick's never going to fucking do it. You can find us at our email at hideouscreatureshow.gmail.com. You can Facebook us at Hideous Creature Show Podcast. You can give us a call anytime, day, night, drunk, sober, happy, or sad at Patrick's cell phone, which is 971-212-6642. You can listen to us and download the show via our website, Podbean, Podcast Alley, Zune, and iTunes. If you use iTunes, and you take a minute, give us a little 5-star rating. And a review, we will love you forever.
And this is Jude Nitro.
And this will help you help us go up in the ranks, help you go up in the ranks, and give us some more exposure. If you'd like to help and support the show, you can tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Please tell a friend.
Special thanks this week goes out to Michael Kelly again. Do you guys have anything?
SF Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, SF Dave.
Thank you for sending it in.
We forgot about SF Dave. You didn't rag on him enough, June. Why didn't you rag on SF Dave enough? He's going to be hurt. So feelings are going to be.
You know what? I really actually.
Brittle skeleton feelings.
I apologize, SF Dave. I completely forgot that you sent it in.
Yeah.
You said we talked about it at the start of the show, and then I completely forgot about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. He's going to be so sad. He's going to blog about it.
The intro to the show was Sweet Brown. The outro to the show, we don't know yet. We'll play it. Well, fuck it. You'll hear it when you hear it. We're going to do another show in about 7 days. Until then, everyone, until everybody, but the thank everyone-y. You for listening.
Everyone on the Baka solo.
Thank you, baby.
Good fall week.
Thank you guys for listening. We're going to know another show in about 7 days. Yeah, right. Until then, everyone.
Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
The Hideous Creature Show.